From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Massive and devastating wildfires in California have become a summertime norm. And this year's out-of-control complex of fires in the northern part of the state came at the same time as a viral pandemic that strikes the lungs and was largely sparked by lightning, not humans. Between the fire devastation, smoke inhalation, soaring temperatures, and the fear of infection, Californians are suffering with no solutions in sight. Except that there are potential solutions to the wildfires, and some of them are being offered by indigenous groups whose ancestors have lived on these lands for generations and know intimately how fire can be a necessary part of ecological change. My guest is Ali Meadows-Knight. She is a Machupta tribal member based in Chico, California. She's also a tribal liaison helping form partnerships for federal forest stewardship, contracting, and tribal forestry programs that were authorized in the 2018 Farm Bill. And she has been a traditional ecological knowledge practitioner for over 20 years, collaborating on environmental education and land restoration projects with Chico State University and the city of Chico. Welcome to the program, Ali.
Thank you very much.
So in January, the New York Times had an article about native solutions to big fires. And in Australia at the time, which was burning during what was their summer, there was this idea that potentially indigenous knowledge could help. And the Times had said that an Aboriginal burning program started 7 years ago has cut hot and destructive wildfires in half and reduced carbon emissions by more than 40%. Could something similar be done in California? So this is something I think that the media has just over the last few months been starting to explore and accept. How do you explain how fire can be part of ecological change and actually help stave off more fires if done in a controlled way?
So we're looking at stewardship, indigenous stewardship of what we call California today. And California has only been a state and part of the United States for about 180 years. So the land management taken care of by indigenous folks from the Northern California all the way down Southern California have techniques using fire for land management, especially in Northern California where I'm at. And throughout the tribes, you can look at Karuk, Yurok, Hupa, Machupta, Washo. You're looking at Miwok. All these tribes in this area have a long, long, long history of using fire for land management. This land management really coincides with other things that are necessary for bringing down insecticides. So we use the smoke during the to help filter insects through the plants. We also use in cool fires where it's already been thinned out. It has what we call a fire regimen in the area. And it's light fire, white smoke. It's not very toxic. And it acts if you do it a large scale, it's a huge large scale fire break. These have to be done regularly. This is part of maintenance. And since this was done for thousands of years, all the plants in our habitat, especially in Northern California that are native, are fire adapted. And also other plants that are drought adapted are used to fire for their maintenance. So now we have 100 year of colonization here in California, where we really have tried to reduce and have no fires. And now we have large scale fires because it's just not, it doesn't co-align. It's not adjusting to the reality of how tribes have been doing it for so many years. And now the tribes are really putting together programs locally to train people for this land management.
So how does the land management work? We have been trained to be extremely careful about sparking fires, national state parks and hot, dry conditions. The, I suppose, Western approach to forest management has been to preserve forest management and prevent any and all fires. Does that end up creating a huge mass of fuel for fire that then burns up ferociously because it hasn't been burned in a controlled and systematic fashion consistently?
That's correct. That it is what is called fuel management. So it's when you have a reduction, it's basically saying if you have the option of having a little bit of fire or a whole lot of fire, but you never have the option of having no fire. So the fire is going to happen. As you see, lightning came and took it out. So there's really, you're going to have these variables that are come in and create fire one way or another. And the plants and the land is adapted to fire. It's used to fire. It wants fire. The changes that we're taking place with all of this reduction, fuel reduction, is that there's a responsibility for us to not only just clean it out and take care of the land, but to do products for services, because this should be a mutual exchange. So we have to change the nature of how we do these land management. So for instance, we have Diana Feinstein, who has come up with this idea of pretty much going, you know, tens of thousand acres to logging companies and letting them just take out all the trees in order to reduce fuels.
She's using logging rights being given away to corporations as a method of fuel management to control fires.
It's very primitive and undeveloped and extremely uneducated way of tackling the issue of land management in Northern California.
See, it's consistent with capitalism.
It is very, it's disaster capitalism, if you really want to point at what she's doing because of the fires and how she's capitalizing on this disaster to hand over this land to loggers who really don't have land management involved or restoration or watershed restoration involved. And they really don't live here and have to deal with the consequences of poor land management. And so the tribal folks have been here, of course, for time immemorial, but we also have to stay here through these changes because of colonization. We've lost a lot of our rights, our land management. None of the treaties in California were ratified with tribes. So our rights are a lot different than the rest of the tribes across the United States. So being the largest economy in the United States, California is, Northern California is pretty much feeding the rest of the United States an economy, and it's on our backs. And if we don't learn to manage this land that is the number one economy in the United States, we're going to lose it, and we can't afford to be vulnerable.
So how does it take place? What is the controlled manner in which burning can take place? Because I imagine that somebody who's not very deeply trained in these methods could do much more damage than good.
Absolutely. So this is why I went into TEK, traditional ecological knowledge, to do certification for land management through tribes. And the first phases you go through are basically plant identification, using tribal names, and knowing some of the ecological benefits and partners that these plants have in our ecosystem, say in our riparia. The other things are that we would actually look at teaching how to do fire. Fire season in Indian country is not during the summer when everything's dry. Your fire seasons are really during your optimal times when it's kind of wet in the morning, and then it dries off in the afternoon with no wind, and you can get some patches of work done. But these are all opportunities that kind of come up on the day that they come up. So having work crews and having permits that are a little bit more flexible than what we have nowadays, where you have to put weeks and months in advance just to do one burn job, which is not realistic. So we have to change the framework in which we do that. And then we also allow, pretty much what we're looking at is when you're having a firefighter, they're going to be working this time of the year to be putting out fires. But we could also be employing these to be fire technicians off season to actually put fire down in places that need to have it and actually do this as a restoration project throughout California. This would also create a workforce. This is a workforce development initiative. This would basically create a whole new genre of jobs and income for people in California. And I believe that we could learn a lot from the Australian Indigenous folks of how they built that infrastructure so that we can build that here as well.
Right now, we have prison labor being used at incredibly low wages to help California's firefighters tackle wildfire. That, too, unfortunately, is consistent with the Western capitalist worldview and economic system that, you know, is part of the same system that has brought us climate change. So you're suggesting that that good jobs, I'm assuming jobs that are fairly paid, would and could be part of this problem. I mean, it sort of sounds like the kind of thing that folks who are backing the Green New Deal want.
Definitely. This is these conversation that I've had conversation with the Green New Deal folks about using traditional ecological knowledge as a basis to certify folks for a new workforce for land management. And this is really just takes what I'm doing now, is it's collaborating liaisons and partnerships with other groups. I cannot partner with the prison industrial complex systems because the integrity and just the principles and the ethics of which it exists are completely in parallel with the colonization that took place 180 years ago, that said that murdering and genociding all Native Americans in California would benefit America. And it's the same mentality of using prisoners to fix our watershed. I just can't co-sign that that painfully horrible scenario of using slaves in California to create a mission to save lives. It seems indicative of the same issues of colonization, of just sacrificing people of color for the privileged whites to have something to call their own. And California is just not a state. This California itself is an indigenous state. The indigenous folks here do not look European. And it because of colonization being so close to the only 180 years here, it's just impossible for me to even appreciate the infrastructure that the state of California has done at this point. I look at it as if it's been a terrible, primitive, reckless job done by very, you know, entitled people.
How can controlled burning that is in line with indigenous land management and fire and fuel management practices, how can that address climate change? I'd mentioned the Australia example as well, where carbon emissions were cut by more than 40% from the controlled burning that they did. How does that work? If you do controlled burning versus one big fire, doesn't it release the same amount of carbon into the atmosphere?
No, it doesn't. There's a strategies for fire regimens. So if you have a pretty well-prescribed area where you do a light burn, you can barely see it from a satellite just above the city. More or less, you couldn't see that from space at all. So it's really light smoke. So you're having a different exchange in the area. That white smoke also goes up and collects particles and can also become a rain cloud, which is healthy, which causes shade and brings water. Hence, the good fire brings water. So you actually do a little magical trick. It's a little wizardry where a good fire brings more water. But a bad fire, as you can see, can bring black smoke. It can bring very toxic air and really create the wrong kind of clouds and the wrong kind of coverage that you need. The light white smoke also helps alleviate a lot of the evaporation over waterways during areas with intense heat. But like I said, this is not, you don't really burn a lot in this season. This season is more of a season of kind of making sure that things are taken care of so that they don't catch on fire. When it becomes cooler in California, you have more access and you're going to be putting crews out there. You actually do them section by section. So some of these practices have been going on for so many years and in so many areas that people don't realize that the beauty of that area as the watershed is because there's fire on the ground. And that is such a magical connection that we really need to make in California, that fire brings water.
How can this knowledge be more widespread? Tell me about the work that you've been doing with the Chico State University and the city of Chico. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we live in an era when indigenous knowledge unfortunately needs to be validated by non-indigenous communities in order to be taken seriously. But you've been doing this work for decades.
Yeah, it started off with basket weaving. So I was able to learn how to do willow baskets, traditional willow, utilitarian willow baskets. It's mostly twine, not so much weaving, but twine, heavy, hard willow weaving. But with all of that, I learned that every secret that I need to know about the ecosystem was woven into baskets. And in order to make more baskets, I had to tend to and take care of the ecosystems around me in order to have good materials to make good baskets. And then people love baskets, so then I had to teach them about that. And then I had to have them help me with the ecosystem so I could have good material. And it goes from there. And now traditional ecological knowledge is something that basically works like this. With this is how I look at it. This tribes have very few sovereign licenses to do things. One of them we know about and very common is gaming, gambling. But the other one we really haven't really thought about is doing certifications for land management under TEK. Because we have that, we could hand out certifications. So perhaps we can't do hairdressing, perhaps we can't do mechanics or even sawyering. But TEK certifications is something to give people an opportunity to get an education on a different level outside of the university, outside of other institutions, and get certified for jobs in the local area doing some things, you know, projects and contracts that we are trying to develop. So through Chico State, working on trying to get the students to volunteer first. I have a lot of volunteer students from different programs that are paid that come through and do land management. So they learn small tending things about willow, watershed, things like that. The city of Chico has now allowed me to work with large pieces of parks to do rehabilitation, restoration, and basically liaisoning and partnering with all of these groups to get volunteers to do the work. We do have a park called Verbena Fields that's about 12 years old. It was pretty much a dump when we got it, and the city helped. Everybody pitched in. I pitched in. And throughout the years now, it's a very beautiful park that people walk through and don't realize that it's gone through such changes. And it gets beautiful. It gets better and better every year. And more plants we put in, and we've turned it into virtually a seed bank for native plants, so that when we do restoration projects otherwhere, we can go to that place and pull the seeds off the plants and use that as access. So now that we have COVID, it's now getting that we're going to back to teaching younger kids, not just college kids, and having outdoor education sessions at the Verbena Fields that we've all been working on, so that field trips and outdoor education can be accessible locally through TEK.
So, and TEK, just for our audience again, is traditional ecological knowledge. So you have this situation where we have these horrendous wildfires, while some academic institutions and even cities may be open to and adopt traditional indigenous methods of fire management. What about the state of California? Is this something that's on the radar of state lawmakers, of the governor? Because the situation is getting worse and worse every summer. You know, it used to be late summer, early fall would be fire season. Now fires are starting in the middle of summer. They're getting worse and worse. We remember the Paradise Fire very close to where you are, which killed dozens of people. You know, this is a situation that really needs immediate and drastic action, right?
It does. So what you really have is most of California is Indian country. So it's 100 years of colonization. There's a lot of native tribes and tons of them, hundreds and hundreds of different tribes in California alone. And then the state of California has federal policies they must abide at. They must comply with. And these federal policies on natural disasters really outline what they're supposed to do and connecting with tribes and consulting with tribes on their land and within their territory. Unfortunately, California, when they write their policies for natural disaster, they kind of left a lot of stuff out, and they don't really have a good framework for having great relationships with tribes. Newsom is aware of that. I'm hoping that he is going to do something about that, but I don't know if it's a priority of his. It should be a priority, since the stewards of this state have great knowledge and access to the land, we should be all be working together. And I hope that these policies, these state policies on natural disaster, really start allowing tribes to come forward and do carve outs. One of the issues that we had with the campfire was that Tetra Tech, a lot of other big, huge corporations, billion-dollar corporations, they were contracted to do the cleanup in our Machupta tribal territory because they were bonded and they didn't even want to hear of a tribal group doing any kind of land management on the campfire because they wanted every single contract. And we're talking about $450 million right up on the first contracts. And so these major corporations are sliding in, doing disaster capitalism, really, really taking advantage of Northern California. I do not see the governor stopping that. I don't see the governor's liaison stopping that. And I don't see tribes really having the access to on their territory as they should by federal law.
So how can people find out more about the work that you're doing in order to push the state and their own representatives to start taking this knowledge more seriously, to start implementing these solutions immediately, to start putting resources toward them for training and for the jobs that are needed?
So one of the things is that we do have, the funding is available, the land's available. Everywhere you go, you're going to have land that's federal land, you're going to have land that's state of California land, and then you have land that's county or city. Those federal lands are negotiable for services. So a tribe and a county and a state and a municipals and agencies should be able to sit down and negotiate with the federal government on federal land to use that federal land to build these programs. And that's what it's there for. And so until we can get folks in California to start negotiating federal land with tribes and for these services, like I'll let you know, in Butte County alone, we have 180,000 acres of federal forests. Those 180,000 acres of federal forests need to be managed. We should start there. That's a big chunk. That's a huge part. And that's all full of fuels. So rather than letting Feinstein hire her cronies to come in and just rip out our forest and pretty much scrape it so bad that we have horrible watershed here on top of the fire, we should be allowing all the local tribes in this area. There's not just Machupta. We have other tribes in this area for us to consort together and to work with this county and to work with these agencies on federal land to build these programs. And everywhere you go, there's federal land, there's tribes, and there's municipals. Once one place does it, everybody should do it, not only in California, but throughout the United States.
Well, it certainly seems like an obvious solution. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Ali. Give out the website for the work you do on TEK and Chico.
Yes, it's tekchico.org. So we have, we're putting it together, newsletters, we're putting together communications. And most of the time right now, we're just contracting, we're looking at contracting, we're collaborating, we're building partnerships, and we're really definitely going forward with trying to do the certifications so that we're creating this whole new workforce in this area on land management. It's so necessary. Right. And I think it's a paradigm shift we all need.
I want to thank you so much again, Ali, for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
My guest has been Ali Meadows-Knight, a Machupta tribal member based in Chico, California, and a tribal liaison helping form partnerships for federal forest stewardship contracting and tribal forestry programs authorized in the 2018 Farm Bill. She's been a traditional ecological knowledge practitioner for over 20 years. We've been discussing how indigenous knowledge about controlled fires can address California's wildfire problems. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.